continued. We'll now move to the regular agenda. First item 1041, please, Carla.
Direct the Office of Management and Finance to create a 311 program to improve and simplify community access to city information and services.
Colleagues, in 2017, the Council directed OMF to develop a plan to create a 311 program in the City of Portland because we know that we can do better, better at providing customer service, better at connecting residents to programs that can help enrich their lives, and better at providing decision-making information to those who need to make decisions, like the City Council and the bureaus. When we affirmed our commitment to that work in the fiscal year 2019-2020 budget by providing the program's initial funding and staff, we also directed OMF and the Office of Community and Civic Life to prepare a resolution confirming the details of the program for Council consideration in advance of the upcoming budget cycle, fiscal year 2021 budget. Today's resolution is a culmination of that work. It fulfills that directive, and in my opinion, it cements the city's support for citywide 311. I want to thank leadership and staff in the offices of Community and Civic Life and Management and Finance for their hard work to lead this effort. We could not have gotten to this point without the talent and the skills and the hard pushes from your offices. I also want to thank this council for their tough and insightful questions that have led to the resolution that you see in front of you today. I know that housing 311 program within OMF will advance OMF's values of service, equity, and innovation, enable the program to benefit from the office's expertise managing citywide initiatives, and provide opportunities to align the 311 program with other citywide efforts, like the modernization of the city's website through the ongoing Power Project. I specifically want to thank Commissioner Udaly and the Office of Community and Civic Life for their ongoing partnership in this effort. Their roles as thought partners, leaders, and champions of this project are critical to ensuring that this program places the equitable access of community members at the center of the 311 program. There's a lot of work ahead for all of our bureaus, but I remain highly committed to the potential of this program to transform Portlanders' abilities to easily and effectively interact with our city government. And with that, I will turn it over to our panel. And the first person up is...
Actually, it's to me.
To Chloe Udaly. Yes. I'm sorry.
Thank
Chloe
you,
Udaly,
Mayor.
Commissioner Udaly. Thank you.
Well, I'm a co-sponsor of this resolution and a champion of this program. And if Tom thinks I've been riding him so far, I bet, I hope he's prepared himself. Because even though it's going to be housed in the in OMF, we still have a stake in it as a bureau, and I have a personal stake in it because we are not doing a good job at customer service, and I'm really determined that we make the city more accessible for all of our community members. I'm proud to say that the 311 program we are considering today will decrease barriers to engaging the city government, promote a culture of civic engagement in the city, and forward the mission of the Office of Community and Civic Life. I want to thank the Office of Management and Finance and the Office of Community and Civic Life for their continued leadership of this effort. This program would not be a reality without their thoughtful and industrious, there's a typo in my remarks, efforts to launch and grow this program. I specifically want to recognize the work of the City County Information and Referral Program, which has served the Portland community for over 25 years. John Dutt and his staff bring remarkable expertise and a commitment to accessible, accurate, and compassionate customer service. We could not ask for a stronger foundation for a 311 program.
Thank you. Then we will move on to the presentation. We have Tom Reinhart, who's the Chief Administrative Officer, Sukri, who's the Director of the Office of Community and Civic Life, and Michelle Kunick-North from the 311 program. Tom, I guess we'll start you. Are you taking the lead here?
Good morning,
Good.
Council.
Good morning.
Good.
My name is Tom Reinhart. I'm proud to be the city's Chief Administrative Officer. 2 years ago, you tasked OMF with transforming the relationship between Portlanders and our city government, and I'm excited to be here today to present this resolution with a fantastic team. We returned last year, as you will recall, with a plan for a 311 program that will simplify the community's access to all of our services and help rebuild credibility and trust in local government. This council stated their commitment to the 311 program in the fiscal year 1920 budget and asked the Office of Management and Finance, in partnership with Office of Community and Civic Life, to return with a resolution that confirms the details of the program. That is why we are here today. We are here to fulfill that request and lay out a plan for the phased build-out of a program over the next 3 years. Today's resolution will formally establish a 311 program in the Office of Management and Finance and set aside ongoing program resources so that we finally get this done. After 2 years of intensive collaborative planning, we are excited to carry out the vision of the program and modernize how we serve the Portland community. As you well know, a citywide initiative of this scale could not have happened without the contributions, expertise, and insights of staff from across the city. I want to specifically thank our fantastic staff team of Michelle Kunick-North, Josh Greger, and John Dutt. Program leadership from the Office of Management and Finance, Bureau of Technology Services, and Civic Life. And of course, staff from all of your offices and our many partner bureaus. This has been very hard work, and I've been
Can I just jump in for a sec?
Yes, can I just close, Commissioner Fisher, one real quick. I'm going to turn it over to Sukri in one moment, but I want to acknowledge what Commissioner Udaly said, and I expect you to be on top of us and to make sure that we deliver this
program. I'm not letting that.
Okay. Commissioner Fish.
Just a minute, Fish. I want to acknowledge this acknowledgement page. I wish in presentations we did this more often, because I think it's important. It's often in the reports that we get, but I think it's very important to call out the people that are at the staff level doing the work, and I particularly appreciate the recognition of City Council offices, obviously all of these categories, but it's a nice feature. I think we should use it more often.
Thank you for that. Now I'd like to turn things over to one of our critical and inspiring partners in this effort, Director Sukri from the Office of Community and Civic Life.
Thank you, Tom. Good morning, Council and community members. Again, my name is Sukri. I serve as Director for the Office of Community and Civic Life. I'm going to speak first to the vision, which is a shared one, and from the beginning of this work, we have held to that vision that all Portlanders, regardless of their language, ability, or resources, should be able to easily and effectively access city information and services. And it truly is a vision because it's never been realized, and at the same time, it's a growing expectation for a growing and diversifying city. So the 311 program will enable people to contact any program in the city in the way they are most comfortable and able, whether that's in person, online, or by phone. And this is especially important because there are barriers that government has actually created, as well as barriers that community members experience due to their own circumstances. So internally, the 311 program will also help ensure city leaders and decision makers that they have timely information about community issues and desires. And while it is not a panacea, a 311 program is an essential part to enhance equitable access to local government and a tool for city leaders and managers to more effectively address community needs. Our operational priorities. To focus our efforts, we have set four operational priorities. The first two are actually interrelated and intertwined. We must use the foundation of equity and universal design to expand access for all Portlanders in order to establish a well-functioning and successful program. The third focus is about leveraging existing investments. This includes staff and their collective institutional knowledge, our investments in the Portland building and the Portland, Oregon website replacement project, and our regional partnerships with Multnomah County and community partners. And we're happy to provide a more full update on the elements of this work in the December work session. And fourth, 311 will do its part and must do its part in a coordinated system of 911 and 211 that facilitates getting the right service to community members and to better position 911 to focus on emergency calls. Now I would like to introduce our interim 311 manager, Michelle Kunick-North, to share more of the program details.
Thank you. So the 311 program envisioned would serve as a first stop for community members, customers, and visitors to the city of Portland where they can get help, information, and services. Community members could reach 311 online, in person, and over the phone. Right now, our city burdens community members with the need to understand our bureaucracy and our form of government in order to get information and services. A 311 program will serve as the front door for community questions and alleviate this burden. As Sook mentioned, it will also complement existing emergency response and customer service programs within the city and our region. So today, a community member might have a question or want to get some information about, let's say, a noise that's been keeping them up at night. Depending on what that noise is, a chicken, loud music, perhaps some construction, they might have to choose from a half dozen different phone numbers. If they choose incorrectly, they'll hopefully reach a kind city staff person who can redirect them to the correct number. Once they reach that correct number, a knowledgeable staff person can intake their request and provide useful information on next steps.
I'm laughing because the chicken is real.
The chicken is real.
Yeah, okay.
But that staff person likely doesn't have a very well-supported system to track requests and understand trends, which means that we can't use that information to assess our policies, conduct outreach, or change how we deliver services. And once that issue is resolved, we don't have a very consistent way to follow up with community members on the status of their request or whether the request has been resolved. While this isn't the case for all city services, it is for many, and we're placing pretty consistent barriers in front of our community members when they're trying to get information and services.
Can I just add something to this chart? Because
sure.
I think there's another...
Oh, I may have misclicked.
Well, you're about to bring up city council, because in my experience, what often happens is council offices get a phone call or an email from that community member saying, here's my concern. And I review our spreadsheets every week, and they are largely referral questions,
right,
wanting to be put in the right person. So our job is to connect them with whoever is that right person. If it's an email, we try to get them a substantive response and to resolve the issue. So I do think that's a big piece of how community members engage this building through council offices. And maybe you were going to get to that.
I appreciate that. We also know that we don't have a very consistent way to share information about who's contacting the city and why.
Correct.
With council offices. So I think that,
so I think
that
each
flows
office
both
has
ways.
Each office has its own philosophy. I mean, we treat every intake as a constituent problem that needs to be resolved. So find the right person, get an answer,
right,
get them into a staff person. It is an inefficient system when our goal is to have a more 311 system where everybody gets treated the same, everyone knows where they can go and get predictable outcomes.
Thank you. And we know from some research that the system is not working well for community members. 1 in 3 residents say that it's difficult to get information from the city. 1 in 4 have chosen not to contact the city because they didn't think it would help. And we know that our community members who live with disabilities are more likely than their able-bodied neighbors to contact the city, but are less satisfied when they do so. So we know we can do better. We also know from our community input that in order to serve Portlanders, we need a system that provides multiple ways to contact the city. We cannot simply push all of our services online. We need to have a phone and other opportunities, web chat, so that people can engage with the city. So to go back to that example, in our 311 vision, the community member could simply contact 311 online, over the phone, or in person, where they would reach a knowledgeable customer service representative who could intake their report, provide useful information, and route the issue to the appropriate bureau, agency, or program. the issue would be resolved and the community member could follow up or receive status updates on their issue. And importantly, the report would be tracked so that programs and decision makers have information about trends and emerging community needs. The program we have in front of you today would be housed within the Office of Management and Finance in a close leadership partnership with the Office of Community and Civic Life and the Bureau of Technology Services. This partnership is critical. The Office of Community and Civic Life, as has been mentioned, brings a steadfast focus on equitable access and a deep relationship with community partners that is critical to making sure equitable access remains a central focus of this work. The Bureau of Technology Services brings expertise in citywide technology initiatives, which are critical to the success of the program. We also will be forming a 311 advisory committee to serve as a forum for ongoing involvement, input, and oversight from partners and stakeholders. We often are asked what kind of services will 311 deliver? And the goal of the program is to become that welcoming front door, whether a community member is trying to report an issue, ask a question, or request services. So this is could be in a wide variety of issues. Finding information on a city project or construction activity, requesting ADA or language accommodations, reporting problems in the right-of-way, signing up for a recreation class. There are myriad opportunities. But to get started, we have a few areas that we're focusing on this fiscal year. The first is ensuring that our 311 representatives can help community members fill out forms that are currently available online. We see this as low-hanging fruit and a way for us to quickly provide services. We're also will be providing customer service and visitor assistance at the Portland Building's front desk when it reopens in mid-December. We are working on onboarding the ability to do simple registrations and reservations for Portland Parks and Recreation. And then we are working with the Office of Equity and Human Rights and a number of city bureaus on centralizing our ADA and language access requests. This is an area where our decentralized form of customer service can put up a very real barrier to community members who are trying to simply access our programs, our events, our services. And then finally, we continue to work with the Bureau of Emergency Communications on improving our ability to assist with non-emergency calls that currently end up in the 911 call center.
Point of clarification, please.
Yes.
Online self-service, that's obviously online. Portland visitor assistance is obviously in person. What's the Portland Parks and Recreation registration permits? Is that by phone, by computer?
So to clarify, all the Portland Building Customer Service and the parks registrations and permits are starting off in person. We'll then be training up all of our phone staff so that they could provide those same services and the online services over the phone.
And for right now, then, people will still be calling 823-4000 rather than 311. Is that correct?
Correct. We'll talk about that in a few minutes, but there are some steps to getting 311 as a number up and running.
Just wanted to make sure that somebody didn't dial in tomorrow to 311.
Yes, you will. If you live in the city of Portland, you will get redirected to 823-4000.
Okay, thank you.
So all of this requires some supporting technology to make it happen. We are working closely with BTS on a number of projects, including the replacement of the city's website to a new service-focused format. We're also working with BTS on a replacement of the city's web forms to make it easier for community members to fill out a form once they're on the city's website. And then perhaps, importantly to our work, standing up a service desk tool or a contact center management tool that will allow 311 program staff or really staff throughout the city to support community members in a variety of channels, to log contacts with customers so we understand if somebody's calling multiple times about an issue, research questions, intake requests and route them to the appropriate program, and then importantly, collect, manage, analyze, and share well-designed data on those requests and get that out to bureaus and leadership.
Before you leave that,
yeah?
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you. What do you mean by research questions in a knowledge base?
A customer service representative with 311 might get a community question on anything from has my, when is my leaf pickup? It's probably a big one right now, to can I find out about upcoming city events or what's going on with this project on my street? So that knowledge base serves as a encyclopedia of information that the representative can kind of glean to assist that customer.
And how would they know what was happening on that street?
So that depends on having a process in place to keep that knowledge base up to date, whether the customer service representative is looking at our website or at this kind of behind-the-scenes information. We will be developing partnerships with our city bureaus to keep the knowledge base up to date with current information. Construction updates is one where we have to do some process improvements to figure out how we manage that given the number of bureaus and agencies that work in the right of way.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking you'd have to know everything about everything that's happening in the city if you're actually going to answer that question.
Mayor.
Commissioner Udaly.
Thank you. So the service desk tool, I understand, is what we will have instead of a CMR. Is that correct?
So a CRM, customer relationship management tool, is kind of a broad term for software packages that allow you to understand your relationship with customers or community members. What we are doing, rather than recommending a transition to a single CRM-type platform, is using a suite of tools to meet all of those same functionality that a CRM provides. We think that's the best and most adaptable way to meet the needs of our city.
Because the thing that I'm most excited about, other than just providing better service to residents, is how collecting and analyzing this data over time will really paint a picture of where the problem spots are and what are the things that people are most concerned about and where are we failing the most in services to the city. So, I mean, that is just such valuable information that we are not currently capturing in any, like, consistent or meaningful way. So can you guarantee to me that we're going to achieve that dream?
I will tell you that is a major focus and goal of the program, and something we've heard loud and clear from council offices and from our bureau partners.
Okay, thank you.
Michelle, and I'm sorry, my job sometimes requires me to multitask, and so if you've already stated this, I apologize. Could you tell us a little bit about the tracking capabilities to follow a complaint through the system and then understand whether or not the issue has been resolved and how it was resolved and when it was resolved and by whom?
Yes. So the tools that we're looking at would allow let's say somebody calls in, we can immediately log that contact, be able to understand, you know, who they are, if it's a contact that requires information, personal information, and what the type of report is, what bureau it's associated with. We can intake the entire form that's associated. So let's say it's a reporting a pothole. There's a form right now where you can fill out all the information required to make sure the Bureau of Transportation knows where that pothole is. That would then get routed to the correct bureau and end up in their resulting systems and their workflows around resolving that issue. That ticket that gets created can then flow both ways. So as that issue is resolved, or maybe and resolution can mean we've identified the problem, it's a known problem, it's now on our CIP list. It could mean we've got somebody going out to fill the pothole tomorrow. You know, whatever that resolution is can be tracked and sent back up via that ticket, so that if that person calls back via 311, we can provide that update. Or we're looking at options so that they could even sign up and get an email, for example, when the status changes.
That's excellent. Thank you. And can we all, I'm 1 second, Commissioner Daly, can we also then organize people by area interest and have them opt into a mailing list that's very focused on a specific issue? Is that one of the objectives?
So that's something that we'd have to look at with our partners in BTS. I know that there are tools that specifically allow you to do that communication management. I'd have to talk with them about how that would interface with
what we're looking at. I would be very interested in that, and I realize that may not be a first iteration add-on, but it's something that ultimately I think would be really helpful just in terms of civic engagement. If we know that people are really engaged on the homeless crisis, or they're really concerned about the condition of roads or sidewalks, or they're concerned about accessibility, if there's something they're really interested in, to somehow plug them into both a community and a communications network related to those issues, I think would be a huge improvement in the way we do customer service here.
Mayor, most cities have a two-way channel in which people can opt in, and they use it for all sorts of proactive communications with residents. So we're definitely interested in that.
It makes so much sense. Commissioner Daly.
So one of the big challenges we have right now with customer service is the hundreds of phone lines that people have to sift through on the website. And many of those lines are not answered by a human. You simply get voicemail. And I don't know the rate of follow-through, but I'm assuming it's often not great. Can you tell me how many phone lines we're going to be eliminating? And can we put that money into 311?
So that's certainly a place where there could be some cost savings. I think the more important piece of what you're pointing out is the opportunity to improve our level of service. So, and the quality of the experience that the community member is having when they contact the city. What we're proposing currently is a Monday through Friday 8-to-5 service. We do have the goal of moving that into more hours, but the goal is certainly that somebody could contact 311, reach a live person who could intake that request or problem immediately, and then follow up with them as needed.
I'd really like to encourage weekend hours.
Yes. May I also speak to the mayor used an important word, iteration, reminding people that this is a phased implementation, that you will not get all these benefits right away with the opening of the Portland building, and that we have additional information we can share with you about which services and why those priorities, and what is the level that 311 can handle. And we're still doing the customer resource evaluation with other bureaus. We can speak more to that in December.
Mm-hmm. Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you for that, Sue. My question has to do with a testimony for City Council, right? I've always been a bit frustrated that people can't either video conference in, or people can't participate from home at the same time that the city, in real time, right, when a city council's meeting. And so I hope, and I know it won't be in the first reiteration of 311, but I hope we think about how do we engage people where they are when city council is meeting, so that it's not the obligation of folks to come downtown and wait for their 2 or 3 minutes of public testimony. I mean, I've seen government entities be able to do that in real time, so I hope that will be part of what we think about. And Tom, I remember the first time you and I talked, I believe you told me there were 147 information lines at the City of Portland, and I never forgot that, right? Because that is absolutely a nightmare if you're someone on the outside trying to figure out what the right number is to call for your issue, right? I've always been a strong supporter of 311. I'm more excited about it today than I was when I first heard about it, and so I really appreciate the hard work that's got us to this point. And I just want to say, it's rare that a city bureau says, oh, I have too much money this year, so you got this much money you can take back, saw that in your resolution. I'd love that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Just for the first 2 years.
But it's a good model. It's a good model. I've been trying to get some other agencies to turn their money back over, but
it's another conversation for another day.
Okay. Another critical component of this work is how do we staff the program. The council has already approved 5.5 FTE for the 311 program in this year's adopted budget. Combining that with the 6 staff in the information and referral program results in 11.5 FTE currently doing this work. Given the anticipated volume of contacts, we're looking at somewhere over 500,000 per year anticipated once we roll out the program. We'll need to grow to 28 FTE, including 20 customer service representatives over the next 3 years. To accomplish this growth while leveraging existing staff and institutional knowledge, the program is looking to internal recruitments and a tiered customer service representative classification to provide an ability to bring on staff who already have specialized training or skills. We're also working with bureaus to examine ways to migrate future services to 311, and we have a council work session scheduled on December 17th to dive further into those options and other ways we could leverage existing investments. In terms of our timeline, I appreciate the use of the phased implementation term. We are looking at growing this program over the next 3 years. This year, the focus is on foundational work to improve how we operate and standing up the Portland Building Customer Service Desk. Next year, we'll really be pushing on launching a new website, forms, and tracking service desk solution with our partners at BTS. We'll also continue to onboard additional services. In the following year, 21-22, that's really where we'll be looking at really expanding the services offered, starting up a 311 contact center where we have additional phone capabilities, and communicating and marketing the program. In order to launch the 311 number, we need to work with our various phone and cell phone providers as well as large employers to make sure that anyone who is within Portland or the vicinity, whether they're on a landline, a cell phone, a public phone, an office phone, can actually reach 311. And then finally, in 22-23 is when we're anticipating a full citywide 311 program that provides online, phone, and in-person capability for that suite of services. So we've talked a lot today about how 311 could help us serve our community better. Just to detail that a little bit, we think that it can provide value to the community and customers and to bureaus and city programs and to city leadership in a variety of ways. From the community perspective, 311 will provide a more accessible, easier to reach, consistent customer service experience with fewer transfers and shorter wait times. And from the city perspective, program staff would have more capacity to resolve requests and respond to community needs, a lower cost per contact, and better and more consistent citywide data on community needs. I want to thank you for your initial investment in this program through this year's adopted budget. As we phase the program in over the next 3 years, we anticipate a need for approximately $1.9 million in general fund resources to fund the 311 program. And since the program's being phased in, as was mentioned, some of those resources won't be needed in the next 2 fiscal years and could return as one-time use by council. The program will also continue to be funded through interagencies with the Portland Building Tenants and Multnomah County. In terms of next steps, just want to highlight a few things that are happening shortly. The Portland Building Customer Service Desk will open on December 16th. The following day, we have a work session with Council to talk about continued implementation on the program and get your guidance and feedbacks on our next steps. And then we will be working through the fiscal year 2020-21 annual budget to make any changes that you approve today. And that is what I have. Thank you.
Very good. Excellent presentation. Colleagues, Commissioner Fish.
I have 4 questions, and thank you for the presentation. First question is, why are we doing this by resolution and not ordinance? And I often get confused as to the legal requirements of both. But Tom, why is this a resolution and not an ordinance?
Michelle, correct me if I'm wrong. I believe we were directed to come back with a resolution in terms of how to implement.
Could I suggest why it's a resolution instead of an ordinance? And it's an excellent question, Commissioner Fish. Because what we are doing is we are laying out an implementation path that goes several years out. And what I wanted people to see is that once we embark on this path, it's a one-way street, and there are significant both HR and budgetary implications for moving forward on this. And I did raise that question during our budget process the last time, but I wanted this council resolved that once we embark on this process, we're going to see it through to completion. It is, of course, as with all resolutions, non-binding. If an emergency happened in the city of Portland, we could suspend the project. But from a policy perspective, I want this council committed to 311, not just this year, but for the next several years until the project is actually completed.
Thank you. My second question is about the data that you'll be sharing with bureaus. First of all, do you anticipate going into this project, what will be the most frequently asked questions? Have you kind of brainstormed what you think will be the top three in terms of community interest?
Commissioner Fish, putting me on the spot, I cannot name those off the top of my head, but yes, we've been working. We have data from the Information and Referral Program, which already gets a number of requests. We're also pooling data from hits on the city's website. So we do have data. I could get back to you on what the top requests would be.
And then I guess potholes and parking.
And dog poop.
And park permits.
Garbage collection.
Yes, I believe park and recreation needs are very high, at least from a website standpoint. Yeah. We get a lot of calls for the city's One Point of Contact program currently through information and referral. So those
we'll
are some
a, we'll
the,
have an
the
office
top
pool.
Up. Yes.
I'm very interested, though, in the customer reports that you're going to be able to generate. Mm-hmm. And I take it we'll be able to customize those by bureau.
Yes.
So if Parks has a particular interest in getting certain kind of data, we can over time plan to get that?
Yes. And importantly, the community doesn't necessarily think in the way that we've structured our government. So someone might call with an issue about the Springwater Trail. That may be considered a PBOT issue, a Parks issue, depending on what it is. So the ability to share that across bureaus, I think, is really critical.
So my third question is, you highlighted some of the technology issues and challenges that we're going to face here. And it begs the question in my mind, is there a role for the Technology Oversight Committee as we launch this thing? Are they currently engaged, or do you anticipate they will have a role?
That's a great question. We have talked about it. The Technology Oversight Committee is aware of this effort and has been briefed. We have not requested that they oversee it yet, because there really is not, at this point, a technology implementation. But we are readying ourselves for the time that we would propose it, that it is an oversight committee effort.
Well, particularly since the timeline to full implementation seems to be 2023, I would urge you to, at the earliest possible time, bring it to technology oversight so that we can get some regular reports on any technology issues that come up. And my fourth question has to do with privacy. What is the realistic expectation of privacy that a member of the public will have when they contact 311? And to what extent will any of the data and information we collect be a public record?
So that's an excellent question. Right now, I guess I would approach that from a few different ways. When we're thinking about migrating services onto 311, I think we need to be thinking about how much information does a community member need to give us in order to have that need met. That may not always require their providing personal information. In many cases, you should be able to make a report about an issue that you're experiencing without providing that information. We would be looking at privacy and security as a major component of any technology or software solution, and it would, of course, need to meet our security standards. And then I think we have a much bigger question regarding how we both make data transparent and maintain and meet our privacy goals with the community. So we're working closely with smart cities and their work around data privacy and data governance to think about how we structure our data collection program.
So this, I think, is something that I would ask that we address in greater detail during the work session.
Okay.
But it does seem to me that we're going to theoretically have the capacity to track phone numbers. We may have instances where people give us email addresses, mm-hmm. or we get emails. There may be occasions where we collect a name and certainly a topic area.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that there's going to be a presumption that that's a public record. And so what is the reasonable expectation of privacy that someone has contacting us? How do we collect that information? What information do we turn over to Willamette Week when they ask for it? I was just trying to get Nigel's attention. Those are all very important questions, and I think we need to understand what the ground rules are, particularly because the public needs to know that when they engage us, they need to know what the ground rules are.
Thank you.
We agree, and I should be used to this by now. I should have tracked your whole list, Commissioner Fish, but I think it was question two that you raised in terms of the data. I wanted to point out to Council one question that we are talking about as a team, and that is just because we'll have a much better tool to interact with Portlanders both ways, for them to request services and ask questions and potentially for us to share information, it does not solve the problem of making sure that we are cognizant of who is interacting with us. And lots of cities have struggled with this, that they become overreactive to the data that they accumulate via 311. For example, I talked to a leader at one city that said they really struggle with the fact that they consistently got complaints about one garbage and recycling route in one part of the city. And I'm sure the five of you can guess which part of this city they were getting this constant 311 data from. The data it spit out was very consistent and very slick, and it was very convincing to council that policy should shift in one direction or the other. And they had a difficult time because they didn't start with any approach to how they were going to use this for policy discussion in an equitable manner. And we need to be aware of this as we get into this building out these tools. And I wanted to assure you that we are working on that. We don't have a proposed approach yet, but we should not be fooled that the tool will not put us in the same situation that our predecessors have been in on this issue.
Commissioner Fritz, then Commissioner Hardesty.
Michelle, how long have you worked for the City of Portland?
Coming up on 13 years.
And I've only been here for 11 of them, but you have been involved in some of the most controversial and difficult challenges. And this one, I think, might be the most of all. And also, I think it's going to be a legacy project for you. So thank you very much for your work on it.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Can I just correct one thing? It definitely won't be her only legacy project. We have a lot more for Michelle to do.
I am sure you will.
Thank you, Commissioner.
This one will reap benefits for generations to come.
Absolutely. We're very proud of her work.
As have many of your others as well. But I'm just very, really happy with this.
Commissioner Hardesty.
I certainly agree. Anybody that can have direct input into their government based on making it as easy as possible for people to be able to communicate would be great. However, I also have a concern, and Tom just alluded to it, about people gaming the system, right? So, you know, sitting home and with your friends, with your wine, and just like constantly writing a complaint about either an individual, a neighborhood, et cetera, et cetera. So clearly the data will have to be analyzed before we assume that the data is accurate, right, and that it requires some action on our part. I guess my question goes back to the mayor's statement. I think it's clear that you've got support on this council for full implementation, but I always have in the back of my head when we're making financial plans for years from now that there will be an economic downturn and it might happen before this project is done. And I see in the last year is where most staffing will come in, which means that will be the time that if we're in an economic downturn, then what?
As one of the people that you have charged with coming up with some recession scenarios, I'm acutely aware of this possibility. I want to say unequivocally that we are working on contingency plans. We take it very seriously, this council's commitment with difficult financial constraints to even going through phase one. We will make sure that when there is a downturn, if it is during this timeline and it is severe, that we have some type of path to continue building the program.
Thank you.
Very good. Carla, do we have public testimony on this item?
Yes, we have four people signed up.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. The first three, please, coming up are Charles Bridgecrane Johnson, Maggie, and G. Ann.
Good morning.
Good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning.
For the record, Charles Bridgecrane Johnson, and always judging that microphone distance and the reverb. So it was good to see that the amount of work that has gone into what's posted online for this for the ordinary public to see is about 29 pages of PDF, and it looks very comprehensive. I think probably the only things that really need to be highlighted is how are we going to get the metrics to address what was really the last issue that y'all had some back and forth about, the equity. Will 50% of the calls be coming in on AT&T cellular lines from the Southwest neighborhoods or the hills, or will we be able to tell that a large number of the calls are coming in on Metro PCS and Cricket lines in East Portland? I don't want to overgeneralize. We have poor people and rich people in different places in the city, but the main issue is for you all to have an idea of how we're going to make sure that we haven't just created a tool for privileged white people to twist the arms of the city government on their own concerns. So one way to do that is if the system will be able to, it's not always reliable, but often usually they can capture the carrier data. There are lots of people that are on the Sprint network because they have the Assurance cell phone, the so-called Obama phone. Not so many high poverty people on Verizon and AT&T. Usually we end up on Cricket, although currently I got a cheap AT&T free phone. So in addition to analyzing the data about the nature of the complaints, one thing that I think is, when we get to that data processing point, I've been pretty pleased with the tool that the Risk Management Office has as far as a dashboard. And I think especially if there's kind of a incident command associated with, this is really enhanced 311, it's not just 311. 311 is just making those three digits work on your phone. But when we're talking about an enhanced 311, if there can be a live dashboard that will relate to things like when there's a massive residential flooding water main break in Northeast, how do we staff the city for minor crises like that, and how do we adjust to like noticing when there are surges in a hooker, a HUCIR, homeless urban camping impact reduction calls? Is it a coordinated effort by a team like Montevilla Initiative, or are they organic calls? So a lot on the plate there, but you know, given the scope of the 29 pages of PDF that you have provided the public after the hard work that's been done here, I'm very optimistic that you're on the path to improve things and have a great partnership with OCCL along with OMF. Thanks.
Thank you. Good morning.
I would like to echo the issue of equitable services and government accountability. I was looking up Abraham Lincoln's 1862 declaration or act or whatever you want to call it that he did regarding government accountability in contracting services. Abraham Lincoln had a fear that contracting services, the government contracting with people, that the contractors would be dishonest, and he wanted to allow whistleblowers to come forward and say, hey, they aren't, you know, doing what they're supposed to be doing or whatever. And there was some an article in Politico magazine yesterday about the healthcare debacle with $4.2 million.
Maggie?
Yes, I'm getting to it.
Do you support us moving forward with this 311?
Well, here's what I see happening is I see people calling that line, and what I hope is that people will, by calling that line, no matter what language they use, will be have expanded access to communication. However, what I have found in dealing with bureaucracy is that there needs to be, and with contractors, is that there needs to be some consequence if they aren't doing their job or they aren't following through or they aren't providing.
So, Maggie, we're not talking about contracts for anything. So the question is, this is a new information system that is supposed to make it easier for people to engage with their government. Do you think it's a good idea?
Well, let me give you an example. Where it can go wrong. Let me give you an example. You've got the neighborhood association thing where they can call up on Hucker and they can, report where people are camping. Well, I have news for you that there are neighborhood vigilantes out there that
Maggie, you're not telling us anything we don't already know.
Are
you going to speak to the issue?
Speaking to the issue of when people are contracting these bureaucracies, how are they responding to that information that they may be endangering vulnerable people?
Unresponsive to the question that's on the table.
All right, thank you,
Maggie.
I'm sure we'll see you again later this morning. Thank you.
Have a good day.
Appreciate it. Next three, please, Carla.
The last person who signed up is Mary Seip.
Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. My name's Mary Seip, and I'll make this quick because I know we're running behind. I just want to mention a couple things. First of all, I so strongly support this, and I'm so excited to see this. I was just realizing it's been 40 years that I led, I was manager of a huge call center for the largest health insurance company in the state, and I was employing a lot of this technology 40 years ago. And the amount of data that you can gather that will help you improve your services to the citizens of this community from a program like this is infinite. And I just, I can't say enough about it. I want to just mention a couple of things that were mentioned. One thing is I am a little concerned that this is being characterized by a couple of people who commented as a complaint system. This is not a complaint system. This is not a complaint line, a complaint department. This is an informational opportunity for people. And my role on our neighborhood association as in the livability and safety committee, I have sort of become the go-to person for all the neighbors to who are you going to call? It's kind of, I keep thinking I should just make a little sign for myself. But because I have studied the city website and I have dug, I have learned where to go, who's the department that handles this, what are the resources. I think this is wonderful. I also want to say that one of the things that Commissioner Fish mentioned about confidentiality, we have a system right now where you report things online. You have to set up an account. You create a user password or a user ID and a password. Your user ID is your email address. So it's not very confidential. And I think confidentiality sometimes shouldn't be there. I also want to say, make sure you keep the human element in this. There's nothing worse. I can't tell you how many times I have left voicemail messages that are never returned. I like the idea that a human being is going to answer the phone when people call. Keep that human element there. Mayor Wheeler, you mentioned tracking, resolution. That's the other thing. Right now, if I do something online, report something online, I don't have a way to track it and get resolution. I get an automated thank you for your, report. So definitely use the data that this system makes available to you and go forward and prosper.
Yeah, and it works two ways, Mary, because not only does the individual who's interacting with the city not have the tracking, we don't have the tracking.
Right.
So I don't know what's been resolved and what hasn't been resolved.
Exactly.
And if I'm referring somebody to a particular service or a particular bureau, beyond that, I don't know what happens unless they call me back and say, hey, either I got really great service and my questions all got answered, or they run into me at the grocery store and say, what the heck, you sent me on a wild goose chase. This hopefully will repair both sides of that equation.
I've got 25 seconds left, and I realize there was one thing I wanted to say.
Sure, yeah, of course.
Commissioner Hardesty, you mentioned people sitting at home filing. I can tell you from personal experience, it's actually quite difficult to get people to file complaints. And part of the reason for that is it's cumbersome. And the other reason is they feel there's no point. And so I think your fear won't be realized. So
Thank you.
And Mary, the data actually reflected that a large percentage of people don't bother picking up the phone or emailing because they just don't think it matters.
Yeah.
And that's a sorry state of democracy. So we need to fix that.
Yeah.
We can do that. Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any further public testimony on this island, Carla?
That's all signed up.
Any further business? Please call the roll.
Udaley?
Well, thanks for the presentation. And as I mentioned, I'm very excited about 311. Some interesting points have been brought up by my colleagues and by community members. And while 311 will be a place where people can lodge complaints, I think as a city we're actually moving away from the complaint-based systems that we have had in the past, at least with the Bureau of Transportation, because we know how inequitable that is. We know that in a complaint-based system, it's the people who know how to navigate the system, feel entitled to be heard, expect to get the response, and they often do. So I think by making our whole system more accessible to all users and making it as easy as possible, like I said, over time, it's going to paint a picture of the needs in our city, and which will help us do a better job being proactive and not letting things go to the point where we're receiving a complaint. So I'm thrilled with the progress. I can't wait. I'm going to be calling 311 every day, Tom. So, and I expect you to answer. I vote aye.
Fritz.
I'm really happy with this. This is... been a long time coming. Randy Leonard pursued a 311 system in his time on the council, and I picked up where he left off in 2009. So that's 10 years ago that we've been really actively working on this. Because of the citywide impacts, 311 does need to have the full support of the mayor, and Mayor Wheeler has prioritized this. The first of the mayors that I have worked with, even knowing that a recession may be coming, has said that this is so important, we need to get it done. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate that. Also, Chief Administrative Officer Tom Meinhardt is the first CAO to prioritize and recognize the importance of this. We like to be first or second in Portland. We're way behind the rest of the nation on this, and it just needs to happen. And I think when you think of things as complaints or requests, everybody should be able to request responses from their city government. And the more we can take care of those requests quickly and efficiently, that will leave us more time to go talk to people who may not know to contact the city government and to find out what it is that they would ask for if they knew, and then to tell them, we've got a 311 system, and here's all the different ways that you can interact with your government. So this is really fantastic. Thank you to Claire Adamsick and Tim Crail on my staff who have been dogging this for 5 years and 11 years respectively, and I am very happy to vote aye.
Fish?
Well, Commissioner Fritz, thank you for the reminding us of the history. I think you and I both been on this body now about 10 years plus, and we've seen good ideas come and go, but this idea has been nurtured over time, and you've been a champion. I want to thank you for that. I want to thank Commissioner Udaley for her enthusiastic support, and Mayor, ultimately, to you for embracing this. Let's be clear about what we're doing today, because we had an excellent presentation. I thought it was a fantastic discussion. I really look forward to the work session in December where we can do a deeper dive. But what we're doing today is we're deciding a fundamental question, and that is, where does the 3-1-run program reside? And we have had a robust discussion and debate at council about where it should be appropriately housed. And in our best tradition, we have reached consensus where we are all comfortable saying it belongs in OMF. And that was a critical issue that we had to resolve in order to move this program forward. We are all going to bring our values to the implementation phase, and we're all going to have good ideas, and Tom will probably just start blocking his phone based on who's calling. But the bottom line is, we are deciding today the question of where to house 311, which is a fairly bureaucratic question, but is one that was holding up this program. And we are now going to move forward, and we have a roadmap forward. And I really look forward to supporting this in the years ahead. I want to thank all of our presenters for really an excellent presentation. You set a very high bar today, and these are complicated questions, and we got clear and direct answers, and we thank you for that. I will say one thing about managing expectations. We're not going to be fully implemented until 2022-23, which means people are going to start using this system and by definition be disappointed because they're not going to be accessing the final product. So I think we have to have a clear communications plan with the public about what it means to phase in 311. Because if people think on day one that it's going to have all the bells and whistles, they're going to be disappointed. And the truth is, we won't have that until 4 or 5 years from now. Well, at least 3 or 4 years from now. So I hope you're thinking about how to communicate that. And I also look forward to going a little deeper on the privacy issues, because I think they're fascinating, and they don't have any clear answers. And I'm particularly interested in the intersection of privacy and public records. Thank you very much. I'm pleased to vote aye.
Hardesty.
In my 10 months here, we've talked about this project quite a bit. And I think this is one of the game changer projects that the city of Portland is currently involved in. When Mayor Wheeler said, you know, most people don't bother to complain or contact the government because they don't think it's going to matter. That's absolutely what I heard 2 years of talking to people in every corner of this city. I think we need to do, quite frankly, a broader public awareness campaign. I think 311 will help reduce the number of people who call 911 because they don't like, they're uncomfortable with what people look like, and they don't know where else to call. The default today is 911, when you don't know which of those 147 city information lines would be helpful to your issue. And so I look forward to the full implementation. I think that this is moving us actually into the current century, and thank goodness for that. I vote aye.
Wheeler.
Well, I'd like to thank Michelle Koenig-North, Director Reinhardt, and Director Reif for outlining a phased implementation approach that allows the council to make an investment over the next 3 years to fulfill the vision of the 311 program. This approach ensures that we seize the opportunity by the Portland Building Reconstruction and Replacement of the city's website, spurs our ability to develop technology to support not only the 311 program, but also all of the customer service functions across the city, and outlines a thoughtful and phased approach to improving the city's customer service that leverages our existing staff, our expertise, and our resources. While the 311 program will require the commitment of the city, its resources, and its staff, I think it also creates a unique opportunity for all of us to make our city, its services, and its programs that our residents rely on both more accessible as well as more impactful to the community. And for the reasons I outlined for you today and for the reasons that were provided by the panel, I want to thank my colleagues for supporting this program and voting aye. I also vote aye. The resolution is adopted. Thank you.